The Ambrosial Song of the Beautiful Lord, Chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita, Moksha Yoga, Supreme Freedom Through Divine Communion. Arjuna said, O Mighty Armed One, Mahabaho, O Master of the Senses, Rishikesh, O Slayer of the Keshi Demon, Keshinisudan, I wish to learn the truth regarding sannyas and tyag and the difference between them. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The Blessed Lord Sri Krishna said, Arjuna, the poet sages who clearly understand and perceive the truth declare that sannyas is the renunciation of all activity prompted by desire, whereas tyag means giving up the fruits of all activities, not abandoning the activities themselves. Some thoughtful men of wisdom declare that the performance of any action is inherently fraught with faults and potential evils, and thus all action should be abandoned, while other great sages maintained that acts of sacrifice, austerity, and charity giving should never be abandoned. O best of the Bharatas, please hear my conclusive judgment concerning renunciation. Truly, renunciation is also considered to be of three types. O Purusha Vyagra, tiger among men, acts of sacrifice, austerity, and charity giving are never to be abandoned, as the activities of sacrifice, austerity, and charity giving purify those who are thoughtful and wise. They should certainly be performed. However, even these activities should be performed completely devoid of any attachment for the acts themselves or any desire for rewards derived from them. This is my supreme and definitive opinion. But renunciation of prescribed obligatory duties is not proper. Such abandonment, impelled by delusion, is proclaimed to be an act of darkness. And one who renounces activity merely because it is difficult or out of fear of physical suffering certainly does not obtain the desired fruit of abandonment by performing such abandonment of a passionate nature. But when activities are conscientiously performed simply as a matter of duty, abandoning all attachment to receiving personal rewards, that abandonment is indeed considered to be of the nature of goodness. The wise renunciate feels no hatred for disagreeable activities, nor is he attached to those which are congenial. He is imbued with illuminating goodness, all of his doubts having been eliminated. Verily, it is not even possible for an embodied being to abandon all activities altogether. But one who renounces the fruits of his activities is known as a true renunciate. Those who perform activities for personal rewards reap three types of results after death: undesired, desired, and mixed. But those who renounce all desire for personal rewards do not incur any karmic reactions whatsoever. Now learn from me O Mighty Armed One. The five causes involved in the accomplishment of any action, as declared in the wisdom of the Sankhya philosophical doctrine. There are five factors of action. One, the foundational basis, the physical body. The agent, ego, animated by consciousness, a pseudo-doer. Three, the various types of instruments, senses, mind, intellect. Four, the multifarious individual efforts, movement of the internal life airs. And five, divine will, the fifth factor in any action. Whatever action a person undertakes by his body, mind, or speech, either proper or improper, these five are the causes. Such being the case, one who foolishly views his own efforts as the sole determining factor in the performance and results of actions, or who views the non-participating self as an agent or doer of action, is a victim of distorted intelligence. Truly, he does not see. One who is free from the egotistic notion that he is a doer of action, whose intelligence is not tainted by material conditioning, even though he slays people on this battlefield, he neither slays nor incurs karmic reaction. The knower, the knowable, and the faculty of knowing are the three catalysts which motivate every action. The agent, the instruments, and the operating function are the three factors by which every action is effectuated. It is explained in Sankhya philosophy that there are also three types of knowledge, actions, and agents, according to their different qualities drawn from the material nature. Please attentively hear of these distinctions as well. That knowledge by which one sees the one imperishable being in all beings, undivided in the innumerable divisions, you should understand that knowledge to be of the nature of truth and goodness. But that knowledge by which one perceives only different beings of various kinds, all separate and unrelated in their existence, you should understand that knowledge to be of a passionate nature. Rajasic Gyan, Sattvic Gyan. And that knowledge by which one blindly, senselessly clings to a single insignificant objective, as if it were the all in all, without any purpose founded upon spiritual truth, is proclaimed to be of the quality of darkness. Tamasic Gyan. That action which is performed in a disciplined manner, without personal attraction, aversion, or attachment, and with no desire for personal rewards, is said to be of the nature of goodness. Sattvic Karma. But that action which is performed with selfish motives, to fulfill personal desires, with egotism and strenuous exertion, is declared to be of a passionate nature. Rajasic Karma. And that action which is undertaken out of delusion, without consideration of one's own personal capacity, or with an apathetic disregard for consequences, such as loss or injury to oneself or others, such an action is said to display the quality of darkness. Freed from attachment to the expected results of actions and the tendency to speak about himself as being a success or failure in effectuating results, endowed with perseverance and enthusiasm, ever equal poised in failure or success, such an agent is said to be of the nature of goodness, sattvic karta. Obsessed with obtaining and enjoying the fruits of his labors, surcharged with greed and impurity, enslaved by swings of elation and sorrow, and always prepared to inflict violence on others, if he deems it necessary to achieve his objectives, such an agent is declared to be possessed of a passionate nature, rajasic karta. And one who is undisciplined, vulgar, deceitful, malicious, insulting, obstinate, lazy, and commonly prone to depression and procrastination is called an agent of the quality of darkness. Here also, O conqueror of wealth, fully and individually explain the distinctions between the three types of understanding, intellect, and determined application of free will, willpower, according to their different qualities acquired from material nature. That intellect, which clearly understands the distinction between actions which are to be performed and those which are not to be performed, when to apply progressive exertion in performing a particular activity, and when to withdraw one's exertion, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, and what causes bondage and what brings liberation, such an intellect is of the nature of goodness. That discriminating faculty which commits errors regarding what is to be done and what is not to be done, what is ethical and what is unethical, is an intellect of a passionate nature, sattvic buddhi and rajasic buddhi. And that intellect which is enveloped by ignorance and thus perceives all things to be the opposite of what they really are, which considers vice to be virtue, is permeated by darkness, O Arjun, tamasic buddhi. That determined application of free will, by which one controls the functions of the mind, senses, and vital airs, with undeviating steadfastness in yoga practice, is of the nature of goodness, sattvic dhriti. But that willpower by which one maintains steadfastment attachment to religious duties as a means of securing wealth and sense pleasure, holding firmly to the desire for the fruits of labor, is of a passionate nature, rajasic dhriti. And that willpower by which one foolishly refuses to abandon sloth, fear, lamentation, depression, and intoxication, indeed displays the quality of darkness, tamasic dhriti. Now hear from me, Arjuna, about three types of happiness. That happiness which is not immediate, but which one relishes in due course by dint of practice, by which one comes to the end of all suffering, which seems like bitter poison in the beginning, but later transforms into ambrosial nectar. That joy is declared to be of the nature of goodness, born of the purity and serenity which accompany the awakening of self-knowledge. Atma Buddhi. That happiness which is experienced as a result of the senses coming into contact with their objects, which seems like nectar in the beginning, but is later transformed into poison, that happiness is known as joy of a passionate nature, Rajasic Sukha. And that happiness which is self-deluding throughout all of its phases, beginning to end, which is derived from sleep, indolence, and negligence, that joy is declared to be of the quality of darkness, Tamasic Sukham. There is no being in existence either here on earth or even among the residents of the celestial realm who is free from these three qualities born of material nature, sattva, raja, and tama. The work responsibilities of the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are allocated in accordance with the natural qualities born of their own innate material conditioning. Svabhav. Shamodamastapa shocham shantir arjavam evacha gyanam vijnanam ashtikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Serenity, control of the mind and senses, austerity, purity, patience, forgiveness, non-duplicity, divine wisdom, proper discrimination, and firm theistic faith are the natural, innate qualities of the Brahmins. Those with the occupation of serving human society by providing general education and spiritual guidance. Courageous heroism, dynamic energy, powerful physical strength, resolute determination, expertise in combat, never retreating from battle, generosity, and noble leadership ability are the natural innate qualities of the Kshatriyas. Those with the occupation of serving others by governing and protecting them. Serving society by way of agriculture and cow protection and providing necessary commodities via sale or trade are the natural occupational activities of the Vaishyas born of their own innate propensities, and craftsmanship, skilled labor, and domestic assistance, being the natural penchant of the Shudras, is thus their natural occupational service to society. Each person dedicated to his own particular natural occupation attains complete success and fulfillment. Please hear how one who finds contentment in his own allocated activities finds such perfection. By worshipping Him from whom all living beings originate, and by whom this entire universe is pervaded, one finds perfection by performing his own occupational duties. Yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam sakarmana tamabhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. Imperfect performance of one's own occupational duties is preferable to perfect performance of another's occupation. By performing activities prescribed according to one's own nature, one does not incur sin. One should not abandon one's inborn natural duty, O Kunteya, even if his performance of such activity is defective. Indeed, every undertaking is shrouded by flaws as is fire by smoke. One whose intellect is free of attachment in all respects, who no longer conceives of himself as a doer, a controller, a proprietor, or an enjoyer, whose mind is conquered and whose material cravings have disappeared. By such perfect renunciation of this type attains a true nature of inaction, reaction-free action. Now learn from me in brief, O Arjuna, how one who has attained such perfection thus attains the plane of Brahman, the supreme consummation of cultivating divine wisdom. Possessing fully purified intelligence linked to the divine, controlling oneself with steadfast perseverance, abandoning all objects of the senses beginning with sound, thoroughly discarding attraction and aversion, living in solitude, eating lightly, strictly disciplining the body, speech, and thoughts, constantly engaging in meditation on the Absolute, taking refuge in dispassion, relinquishing egotism, aggression, arrogance, lust, anger, and attachment to material possessions, devoid of even the mental concept of proprietorship, and thus always peaceful. Such a person is fit for union with the Supreme Brahman. Absorbed in awareness of the joy unceasing, the light eternal, experiencing the ineffable serenity of the self, such a one neither grieves nor longs for anything. Equal and impartial toward all living beings, he attains supreme loving devotion to me. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyash chasmi tattvataha tattvam tattvato gyatva visite tadanantaram. By loving devotion to me, one comes to realize my glories and who I am in truth. Upon knowing me in truth, he then immediately enters into my domain of undiminishing spiritual splendor, always engaging in all activities with implicit faith in me. By my grace, one attains his eternal imperishable home. Thus internally dedicating all activities unto me, cherishing me as a supreme goal, and relying upon enlightened intelligence linked with my will, remain continuously absorbed in thoughts of me. By this type of meditation upon me, you will overcome all difficulties and impediments by my grace. But if out of egotism you do not heed my counsel, you shall be lost. If, taking refuge in egotism, you think, I shall not fight, this resolve of yours, Arjuna, will be futile, because your inherent nature as a Kshatriya will compel you to engage in some type of warfare. That which, out of delusion, you wish to avoid doing, you shall be helplessly compelled to do anyway, being bound up by your own karma, born of your own nature. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantarudhani mayaya. The Lord dwells within the hearts of all beings, yet he complies with the wishes of those beings who yearn to be apart from him. By arranging for them to experience the magical illusion that they are moving from body to body and world to world, as if seated upon a rotating carousel. Therefore, run to him alone for shelter with your whole being, and by his grace you will reach the supreme peace of your eternal home. Thus I have explained to you that knowledge which among secrets is more secret still. Having fully reflected upon all this, you may then do as you wish. But listen once again to my highest instruction, which is the most secret of all. You are dearly beloved by me, and therefore I shall repeat it for your benefit. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Arjun, by offering your whole heart to me, fixing your mind upon me, performing your every activity as a sacrifice to me, and bowing in obeisance to me, you will surely come to me. Truly I promise this to you, for you are dear to me. Sarvadharman prityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. Abandoning all conventional duties and rituals, socially or scripturally prescribed, vow in heart to surrender to me alone, I shall liberate you from all sins and evils. Do not grieve. This confidential instruction is never to be divulged by you at any time to persons who are devoid of self-discipline, theistic devotion, or a serving spirit, nor to persons who do not wish to hear it, or who speak ill of me, or who show contempt for me. One who expounds the supreme secret to my devotees performs the highest act of devotion to me and will undoubtedly come to me. This is certain. No one among humankind performs a more pleasing activity than he, and no other in this world shall be more dear to me. And one who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me through the sacrifice of cultivating divine wisdom. That is my opinion. Even the person who simply hears it with great faith and respect is also liberated and reaches the joyous worlds of those whose activities are pure. Has this been heard by you with one pointed concentration of mind, O Arjuna? Has the delusion of your ignorance now been dispelled, O Dhananjaya? Arjuna said, my Lord, my delusion is gone, and I have regained my memory by your grace, O Achyuta. Standing firm, with all doubts dispelled, I shall now act according to your words. Sanjaya said, O Dhritarashtra, thus have I heard the discussion between Vasudeva Sri Krishna and that great soul Arjuna, the son of Prita. So wondrous was that conversation that it causes my hair to stand on end. By the grace of my spiritual preceptor Vyas, I have heard this highest and most confidential holy science of yoga, uniting with the Supreme, explained directly by Sri Krishna, the Lord of Yoga himself. O King Dhritarashtra, remembering again and again this miraculous and sacred conversation between Krishna, Keshav, and Arjuna, I feel joyously thrilled at every moment. end, remembering again and again that breathtaking universal form of Lord Krishna, magnificent beyond compare. I am overcome with amazement, O King Dhritarashtra, and waves of thrilling joy surge through me again and again. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishno, Yatra Parto Danurdharaha, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the Supreme Master of Yoga, Yogeshvaraha, and wherever there is Arjuna, the mighty archer, Dhanurdhar, there too will unfailingly be the radiant glow of victory, prosperity, well-being, and righteousness. That is my firm conviction. Thus ends the 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Moksha Yoga, Supreme Freedom through Divine Communion with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna.